Chapter 2. Moni's Life on the Alp. On the following morning, Paula was awakened earlier than ever in her life before by a lusty song. "I shouldn't be at all surprised if this were the goat boy," she said, jumping out of bed and running to the window. Just as she had guessed, Moni, with fresh, rosy cheeks, stood by the open shed. He had just brought out the old goat and now fetched the kid. She saw him swinging his staff in the air and leading the way forward with his goats, which were leaping and jumping about him as they had started on their way. Suddenly raising his voice again, he sang out loud, while the echo resounded from the mountains. "Up on the fir trees the merry birds sing, for after a rainstorm the sun's like a king." "He must sing me his whole song today," Paula now said, for Mona had already disappeared and she could not follow the words any more. Rosy clouds were trailing overhead, while Moni's cheeks were fanned by the morning breeze. He loved this delicious cool air when he was climbing. In his extreme well-being, he could not restrain himself from a lively yodel. Many sleepers in the hotel opened their eyes in astonishment when they were awakened thus. Soon, however, they gladly shut them again in the happy consciousness that another hour still was left for sleep. They were all familiar with the voice of the goat boy who was up and about so early. Meanwhile, Moni with his goats was climbing higher up till after an hour's time he got near to the steepest crags. The further up he went, the more beautiful the scene became. Looking about him from time to time, he would gaze up at the sky that was turning a deeper blue every minute. Moni began his song now, which swelled louder and clearer the higher up he went. "Up in the fir trees the merry birds sing, for after a rainstorm the sun's like a king. The sun and the stars and the moon in the night, our dear Lord has fashioned to give us delight. The joy of the spring flowers in yellow and red, and the joy of the blue sky has gone to my head. In summer grow berries, I pick them in haste. The black ones and red ones are well to my taste. In the hedge here are nuts, and I know where to find good herbs, for my goats like to gnaw the best kind. In winter I'm merry, it's no use to cry, for spring follows after, he'll come by and by." Moni had planned to spend the day in a spot where he usually settled down. At last he reached the small green field where, from a broad projecting rock, you could look far down on all sides into the valley. This prominent rock was called the Pulpit Rock. Hour after hour, Moni could spend there, gazing about him and whistling to himself, while his little goats contentedly grazed on the herbs. On his arrival, the boy placed his bag with provisions in a hole he had dug for that purpose. When this was done, he stepped out on the Pulpit Rock and threw himself down on the ground, meaning to enjoy life to the full. The sky was of the deepest hue. Opposite to him, the high mountain peaks with their huge ice fields were slowly appearing through the morning mist, and below him the green valley shone in brilliant light. Moni was lying high up above the clouds, looking about him, whistling and singing. The cool mountain breeze was cooling his hot cheeks. I am sure that no city boy had ever felt such supreme well-being as did this simple boy on his hard rock. When he stopped whistling for a moment, the birds above him merrily took up his song before they flew high up into the sky. Megerly came from time to time to rub its head against Moni's shoulder. Full of affection, it bleated and walked around to Moni's other side, tenderly rubbing its soft head on him again. The other goats also would take a turn to look at their goat herd, and each one had its own way of paying the little call. Moni's own brown goat always seemed to come with great solicitude, as if she wanted to find out if all was well with her owner. Standing before him, she gazed at him thoughtfully till Moni would say, "Everything is all right, Brownie. Just go back to your herbs." There were two that always came together. One was a young white goat, and the other was called Swallow because of her slenderness and agility in running about, which could be likened to the bird's swiftness in flying into its hole. They used to run to Moni with such force that they could easily have upset him if the boy had not already been stretched out on the ground. With equal swiftness, they also took their leave. The shining black goat, Megerly's mother, which belonged to the host of the inn, was a trifle proud. She did not deem it wise to lower herself by coming too confidentially near to the boy. She would keep a distance of several steps, looking at Moni with lifted head, and would then, with great dignity, resume her own pursuits. Big Sultan, the billy goat, regularly appeared once a day, and pushing everybody aside he happened to meet in Moni's neighborhood, he would bleat, full of self-importance, several times. He felt himself clearly the leader, and as such gave the boy a full account of the state of his flock. Megerly alone could never be driven from her protector's side in this fashion. At the arrival of the billy goat, it would quickly hide deep under Moni's arm or head, so that it was quite impossible for Big Sultan to get near it. Sheltered in that way, it was no more afraid. If it happened to encounter the big goat alone, however, it generally shook with fear. The pleasant sunny morning had gone by. Moni had finished his dinner and stood leaning on his big staff, which made climbing up and down so easy. He was wondering which new side of the rocks he should explore this afternoon with his goats. At last he decided to try the left side, which led to the three picturesque dragon rocks. In their vicinity the most luscious bushes grew in abundance, and this made the place a veritable paradise for his little charges. The trail was quite steep, and there was many a dangerous spot to beware of on the abrupt side of the precipice. But he knew a good way to get there, and with perfect confidence in the common sense of his flock that had never yet gotten lost, he led the way. Merrily all the goats followed, sometimes ahead and sometimes behind him, Megerly always keeping close to his side. Passing an especially dangerous place, he would gently hold and pull the little goat along. Everything went well, and the whole company arrived on top, safe and sound. Leaping away, the goats now attacked the green bushes. They recognized the delicate food that they had had the privilege of nibbling several times before. "Take your time! Don't be so wild," came Moni's warning. "Don't push each other off the sheer rocks, please. It would just take 1 second for one of you to tumble down and break your legs. Swallow, look out! What has come into your head?" he now shouted up to the rocks above him. The swift goat had already climbed up as high as the dragon rocks, and standing on the furthest edge of one, was pertly looking down on him. With tremendous swiftness, the boy climbed up, for it needed only one false step for Swallow to drop into the chasm. He had reached the dangerous rock in a very few minutes. Grabbing Swallow's leg, he quickly pulled her down. "Come with me now, silly little beast," Moni was scolding while he was leading her down to the others. He kept a tight hold of her till she had begun to nibble eagerly on a bush. He then knew that she had given up the thought of running away. "Where is Megerly?" Moni suddenly cried out. He only saw the black goat standing quietly on a steep precipice, not even touching the grass. The kid was always either near Moni's side or running after its mother. "Where have you left your little kid, black one?" he called out in his fright while he was running over to the goat. She behaved very strangely indeed. Not eating or moving from the spot, she refused to budge from her position. Only sometimes she seemed to prick her ears suspiciously. Planting himself close to her, Moni looked upward and downward. Now he could hear a low, plaintive bleat. Surely that was Megerly's voice that came so pitifully from far below, calling for help. Moni lay down on the ground to lean forward. Yes, now he could see something moving below. He could see it plainly now. It was Megerly, hanging on a tree branch, jutting out from a rock. Its bleeding seemed to break the boy's heart. It must have fallen down. Luckily, the branch had caught the kid. Otherwise, it would have died a horrible death by falling down the precipice. The danger was by no means past, for if it lost hold of the bough, it would be hurled into the depths and be dashed to pieces. In his extreme anxiety, the boy called down, "Hold on tight, Megerly. Don't let go of the branch. Wait till I come and fetch you." That was easier said than accomplished. The sides of the cliffs were absolutely sheer, and Moni knew well enough that nobody could climb down from where he was. Then he remembered a rock further below in the same altitude as to where the kid was stranded. This was an overhanging rock called the Rain Cliff, which gave good shelter in case of rain. All goat boys for years back had spent the rainy days under its protection, so the Rain Cliff had had its name a long time. Moni had decided to get the kid by starting from there. Then by climbing straight across the cliffs, he might be able to bring the goat safely back. Quickly gathering his flock together with a shrill whistle, he descended in a great hurry to the entrance of the Rain Cliff. There he left his goats peacefully grazing while he began his perilous journey. The kid, though not very far away from him, was unfortunately high above on a branch. It would be no easy task to climb up there and back with Miggerly on his shoulders. Nevertheless, it was the only possible way to save the little creature. Now he remembered his grandmother's words regarding our Lord in heaven. Assured that with God's help he would not fail, he folded his hands, praying aloud, "Oh, kind God, help me to save poor little Miggerly." This gave him great confidence, and climbing nimbly up the side of the rocks, he had soon reached the tree. Holding on tight with both feet, he lifted the trembling, moaning little kid up to his shoulders. Cautiously, he retraced his steps, and it would be hard to tell you how thankful he was when he again stood on the firm ground. The joy at seeing the frightened kid safe again made him exclaim aloud, "Oh, kind Lord, 1,000 times I thank thee for thy help. We are both so glad." His heart still overflowed with gratitude to God in heaven when he sat on the ground with the little kid. He petted and stroked the little goat, which was still trembling in every limb. Moni was trying to console it after its bitter fear, and when it was time for departure soon afterwards, he again lifted Miggerly up to a shoulder. Tenderly he said, "Well, my poor dear Miggerly, you are still trembling all over. You couldn't possibly walk down today. Come, I'll carry you instead." So the little creature that clung closely to him was safely carried down the whole way on that eventful afternoon. On the nearest incline above the hotel, Paula, accompanied by her aunt, was already waiting for the goat boy. When she saw Moni coming down with his load, Paula asked if the kid was sick. Her sympathy seemed so great that Moni, sitting down on the ground, told Paula his day's adventure with Miggerly. The young lady's interest in the matter was very keen. She stroked the rescued little creature. How cunning it looked now, lying peacefully on Moni's knees with its little white legs and the glossy black coat on its back. It seemed quite willing to be petted. "Please sing me your song now, Moni, since you are so well settled here," said Paula. The boy's heart was so full today that he gladly began his song. He never paused till he had ended. Paula was delighted with his performance and told him of her hope to hear it soon repeated. It was time to go now, and before long the whole company had reached the hotel. Miggerly was laid gently down on its couch, and saying goodbye, Moni hurried home. Paula, returning to her room with her aunt, still kept on talking about the goat boy, whose cheerful morning anthem she already longed to hear again.